It's the Currency Brief by OFX on MoneyFM 89.3's The Breakfast Huddle. The Currency Brief is brought to you by OFX, moving money globally.
MoneyFM 89.3. Good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. Time now for the Currency Brief. And if you're like me, you probably indulge in online shopping over the past year a little bit more than usual because of the restrictions that we were facing. And it's kind of fueled a boom in the e-commerce scene.
I am still shopping right now. 7-7. I'm buying a couple of things right now. So this has, of course, fueled a boom in e-commerce on two fronts. One, of course, is there's increased supply of vendors and suppliers and shops, more businesses, SMEs moving from brick and mortar to selling online, so broadening their income source and diversifying their risks somewhat. There's also increased demand, you and me, more people going online to shop during the pandemic and now.
That's where we are at, because if you're running a business and you look at this situation, exchange rates are going to have a huge impact on your bottom line. So in this segment, we get your questions answered by an OFX currency expert who'll be able to help you make informed decisions when you're moving money globally. And on the line to help us out this morning is Edward Wiley, who is Director of Strategic Partnerships E-commerce at OFX. Edward, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Elliot. Hi, Ryan. Thanks very much for having me on the show. Great to be here.
I suppose you're one of the many who have increased online shopping as well, huh?
it's been a big change. Working from home, and having stuff delivered to your house is pretty easy these days.
Yeah, online sellers are quite a core customer segment for OFX. Let's talk about the pandemic, the impact that has had through this pandemic on cross-border e-commerce markets.
Oh, definitely. Like, there's been a huge change in the cross-border e-commerce world. And the pandemic's pretty much just sped everything up. So before the pandemic, you know, we were seeing growth in e-commerce. Everyone's talking about e-commerce, but the older population and kind of, you know, probably my age, in your late 30s, wasn't shopping everything online. They were still, you know, traditionally going into the stores, try before you buy. But that same kind of like 5 years of e-commerce adoption growth condensed into 5 months. So, you know, huge demand, 150 million people shopping online for the first time. So, you know, as you said before, people are just forced into shopping online. They can't go into stores. And then from the supply side, there's been a huge growth in just companies who just set up web stores for the first time. Also, traditional bricks and mortars, the stores they had to be, you know, forced into setting up their first online store. So that's been a huge pivot. And then people are just now used to buying online. So, you know, I'm happy to, wait 2 days for something to arrive in the post.
You talked about being shopping. Forced online to not just buy, but also sellers being forced online because they can't open shops, they don't have as much traffic. Walk us through some of these platforms that you're seeing growth at.
100%. So you've got your traditional website. So you can set up with, like, say, a Shopify web store or BigCommerce. And those are kind of you go onto a website and it's purely the own brand's products or they have an array of like products on there. And then you've got your marketplaces, your huge marketplaces like Amazon, who are like globally everywhere. And then you've got your marketplaces for each region like Shopee and Lazada in Southeast Asia and Rakuten in Japan. So we've seen a kind of a shift for traditional website sellers, like they've now, you know, started selling in their own home market, and then when the cross-border happened, they were like, oh, well, my market shut down, but, you know, Australia hasn't, so why not sell into Australia market? So there's been a bit of a kind of a push growth as well into selling overseas, and then if one market shut down, then they're like, oh, well, I'll send my goods to the United States because now they're back opening up and they're all shopping online.
Another upside of that, of course, also being able to sell your goods all year round. Edward, we got a question from a listener asking, you know, saying that with opportunities, there are risks as well. Could you share some of the risks of such expansion, you know, selling overseas, that is?
Yeah, there's general like products suitability risks, so making sure your product fits into that market. So, you know, you might sell something really well in one market, say in Singapore locally, but it might not have the same, you know, buyers in that market. So it's best of all to test the market before you enter. Competition as well. So some markets, I know Amazon recently launched in Singapore, so the competition is quite low. Whereas if you go onto Amazon in the US, competition's quite high. So it's been around for, you know, 10 plus years, and there's over a million sellers who are selling on that platform. But, you know, you've got to weigh up your risk with your opportunity. So, you know, Singapore market itself is quite small when you look at it in comparison to the global market. You know, when you're looking at the European size of the European market and the US market, it dwarfs anything in comparison. So, yes, there is going to be a bit more competition. So I'd tread carefully when expanding overseas and make sure you do your research. And I'd probably test the market, but I wouldn't sell into the US if you've got a generic product. So what works well in the US market or the UK market or European market because they're so competitive is a niche product, or if you're selling a branded product. So you want to have, you know, your trademarks in place, and you want to have like positive store, and you got to watch out for your margins. But when you're thinking about expanding, because if you're just selling locally here in Australia or in Singapore, sorry, I'm based in Australia, so that's why I said Australia. But if you're just selling locally in Singapore, your cost comparison to another Singapore seller is based off how much you sell. However, if you do sell, say, into the US market, you're going to be selling more. Therefore, what you're ordering from your supplier will increase, and then your average costs will come down. Your profit margins will go up. You'll become more competitive in your local market, not only on the international market. So there is risks there. And then when you're talking about selling internationally with OFX, there's obviously currency conversion risks because you've got to bring your overseas currency home. So that's where OFX can help.
All right. And of course, OFX can help in so many other areas as well. If you've got a question for an OFX currency expert next Wednesday, you can send it over to us via WhatsApp with your question and name to 88550893. This morning, we've been speaking with Edward Wiley, Director of Strategic Partnership E-Commerce at OFX. Edward, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
No, thank you very much, Ron and Elliot.
Well, if you're making or receiving global payments and want to make an informed decision, talk to an OFX expert.
With OFX, you can feel confident you're getting expert support and great exchange rates.
Visit OFX.com/save to schedule a demo or request for an FX consultation.
It's the Currency Brief by OFX on Money FM 89.3's The Breakfast Huddle. The Currency Brief is brought to you by OFX, moving money globally.